Okay, I welcome all of you to English Dhamma discussion. Basically, we were discussing Parayana Vagga, few suttas there. Last time, I think we have completed the Kappa Sutta. So it was discussed few weeks, and then we have come to the next sutta, which is called Jatukanni Sutta. So if I just recall the kind of context of this whole series. So basically there was one Brahmin called Babari, and that Babari had many students, and he's a well respected teacher and quite old, 120 years old. And particularly there were 16 students, we can say eminent students. And at one occasion Babari got a kind of a problem from another ascetic, and he basically requested certain amount of money from Venerable Babari, but Babari didn't have that amount, so he refused, or I can't give that, it's not capable to provide it you right now. But the other person made a curse, so the Babari was frightened about it, and then he was perplexed and was in a trouble. And at that moment a particular deity sort of helped him, asked him to meet the Buddha and get some instructions from the Buddha. So Buddha only can sort out your problem. So at that moment Babari asked, where is the Buddha? And then she mentioned Buddha is fairly far away at this particular place, he is there. And so Babari decided, okay, I myself can't go there, let me send my 16 eminent students. So then they asked, how are we going to recognize the Buddha? How are we going to verify the Buddha, whether he is the true Buddha, the real Buddha? Then Venerable Babari said, okay, in our scriptures, in our Vedas, the particular marks of the great being, the Buddha, is mentioned. Okay, all these different marks are there, particularly there are 32 marks. And you all go there and see whether these 32 marks are visible in the Buddha's body. And if so, you can recognize, okay, he is the true Buddha, he is the real Buddha. And as another verification, you can ask the question through your mind. So if he is the true Buddha, he may read your mind, and then he is going to answer through words, so that you can get the answer. So this is how the whole situation has set up. Now different Brahmins, different these late people, or rather Brahmin ascetics, they are asking various questions, and Buddha is answering them one by one through the words. So this is how all the different suttas are coming to being. And now there's a particular Brahmin called Jatukanni. Now he is asking questions. So I will recite the Pali verse, and then Venerable Dhamma Vijita may recite the English translation. Venerable Dhamma Alankara will recite the Sinhala translation, and we'll do a simple discussion afterwards. So Jatukanni Sutta, the 11th Sutta in the Parayana Vagga. So the Pali verse goes like this. Sutvanaham chirang akamakamin, within brackets, icchayasma jatukanni, oghatigang puttu makama magamang. Santipadang bruhi saha janitta yatha tachang bhagava bruhi metang. Let me recite it again. Sutvanaham chirang akamakamin, oghatigang puttu makama magamang. Santipadang bruhi sahajantetta yatha tachang bhagava bruhi metang. So we'll listen to the translations.
Having heard of the hero who has no desire for sensual pleasures, I have come to ask the desireless one who has escaped the flood. Speak about the state of peace. You have innate vision. Tell me about it, blessed one, as it actually is.
Aishmat Chatukanni Manavaka Mese Asiya Viryan Vahansa Mama Mumbavahanse Varahangatuli Kamean Nopatanahein Akama Kami U Chaturoga Tarane Kala Kenekai Asa Nishkama U Bhagyavatun Puluswanata Ayami Sahajata Sarvanyata Jnana Chakshuta ඇතියානෙනි ශාන්තිය හා ශාන්තිපදය හා වරහං ඇතුළේ නිවන වදාළ මැනව. භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්ස තෙලකරුණ තත්ත්වය වූ පරිදි වදාළ මැනවි.
Yeah, so basically Jatukan is asking the state of calmness, state of peace. Santipadam Bruhi. So please explain me what is this Santipada, the word or the state of the calmness, state of the tranquility, state of this complete peace. So I have come here to recognize that, or I have come here to ask that from you. So please explain me that. So basically he is asking about the Nibbana in other terms. So now Buddha is going to answer like this. Bhagavahi kame abhibhuya iriyati adichova pataving teji tejasa paritta panyasa me bhuri panya achikka dhammang yamahang vijanyang jati jaraya ida vipahana. Still Jatukarni is talking actually. He is still asking another question. Bhagavahi kame abhibhuya iriyati ආදිච්චෝව පඨවින් තේජි තේජසා පරිත්ත පඤ්ඤස්ස මේ භූරි පඤ්ඤ ආචික්ක ධම්මං යමහං විජඤ්ඤං ජාති ජරාය ඉද විපහාන. So he is further explaining his question and we'll listen to the translations.
For the Blessed One has overcome sensual desires as the splendid sun overcomes the earth with its splendor.
Please, can you repeat?
For the Blessed One has overcome sensual desires as the splendid sun overcomes the earth with its splendor. Since I am one of limited wisdom, teach me the Dhamma, you of broad wisdom, so that I might understand the abandoning here of birth and old age.
Yam heyakin bhagyavatun vahanse tedati hiru siyatedin polavasein kamayan medala vesena segda එහෙයින් මහා ප්‍රඥයන් වහන්ස මේ අත් බෞහි මෑ ජාති ජරාවන්ගේ ප්‍රහාණය වූ යම් දහවක් දැනගන්නෙම් නම් ඒ දහම මන්ද ප්‍රඥ වූ මට වදාරණ සේක්වා.
So basically he is giving his own perspective about his wisdom. He is telling, I am with less wisdom. I am not with much wisdom. I am with very poor wisdom. I am paritta panyasa. So I am a fool, basically. But Bhante, you are a great person. You are bhuri panyas. You have a great wisdom. So please let me know this state. Achikka dhammang yamahang vijanyan jati jaraya ida vipahana. So that particular dhamma, whatever the teaching, please teach me. So that while being in this very life, I am able to overcome jati jara. I am being able to overcome the birth and the decay, birth and the aging. So basically he wants to know the complete cessation, we can say complete Nibbana, to overcome the complete sansara. And you are, Bhante, a great person. I am just a fool. I don't have much knowledge. But you, on the other hand, is a great person. So, and you already have overcome all the sensual desires. Like the sun who has the splendor, the huge light, illumination, which is, illuminating the whole earth. You are such a great person. So please let me know that particular teaching. By knowing that, by understanding that, I would be able to overcome jati jara. That means I would be able to overcome birth, decay and death. Okay, so this is how he further explains his question. And then now Buddha is going to answer his question. Kamesu vinaya gedhaṁ, within brackets, chatukhan niti bhagava, close brackets. Nekhamman dattu khematu, uggahitaṁ nirattaṁ, va mate vijnitta kinchanam. Kamesu vinaya gedhaṁ, නෙක්ඛම්මන් දට්ටු ඛේමතෝ උග්ගහීතං නිරත්තං වා මාතේ විජිත්ත නිකින්චනං මාත් නිරත්තං උග්ගහීතං නිරත්තං වා මාතේ විජිත්ත කිංචනං. So we'll listen to the translation.
Remove greed for sensual pleasures. Having seen renunciation as security, do not take up or reject anything. Let neither of these exist for you.
Please, can you repeat?
Remove greed for sensual pleasures. Having seen renunciation as security, do not take up or reject anything. Let neither of these exist for you.
Let neither? What?
Let neither of these exist for you.
Okay, got it. Mm-hmm.
වරහන් ඇතුලේ භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ මෙසේ වදාළසේක. චතුකන්නියනි, නෛෂ්ක්‍රම්‍ය ක්ෂේම වශයෙන් දැක වස්තුකාම ක්ලේශකාමයෙහි තෘෂ්ණාව දුරලව තෘෂ්ණා දෘෂ්ටි විසින් ගන්නා ලද්දෙක්කෝ හලයුත්තෙක්කෝ වරහන් ඇතුලේ රාගාදී කිංචනයෙක් හෝ තොපට නහමක් වේවා.
Yeah, now Buddha is answering, telling Kamesu Vinaya Gedam. Now, if there is any kind of a five sensual cords, that means sight, sound, smells, taste, tangibles, so those are the things that we typically like we desire these things, say, white, beautiful sights, beautiful sounds, beautiful smells, taste, tangibles, so this is what we typically like. And other than that, so there are various states that we like. Okay, I want to become someone, I want to become some special person, I want to have a reputation, I want to have this much of wealth, I want to have this, I want to have that. So likewise, we imagine certain states, that those are also there. Those are other various things that we like to have, we claim to have, and so that we sort of prepare ourselves. So all that, Kamesu Vinaya Gedam. Now Buddha say, okay, you need to abandon all that geda, all that greed, all that desires. And with particularly for the five sensual cords and the other different states, all that you need to abandon. Kamesu Vinaya Gedam. Nekkamman dattu khematu. So renunciation has to be recognized as the oasis, as the refuge. And then, uggahitang nirattangva. That means grasping and kind of rejection, that both have to be abandoned. Mate vijjitta kinchana, so don't have anything. So basically, so the if you consider the mindset of that particular time, so this person can't have any kind of a rejection either, or he can't have any kind of a grasping either, attraction either. Now this is actually a common scenario that Buddha explains in many, many different places. Now, say for example, if we consider that common, Baddhegrath Sutta. In the Baddhegrath Sutta, this is the common theme. Asanghirang asankuppang, tangvidva manubruhe. Asanghirang asankuppang is the same thing, where you don't have any kind of an attraction, neither you have any kind of a rejection, kind of a repulsion. So mind has to maintain a complete balance. Now say for example, typically what happens is, when we see something very beautiful, we get immediately attracted to that. Okay, we are driven by that, we are being pulled to that direction. So we being attracted to that. And then mind go there, grasp it and appreciate it and hold it, think about it, again and again think about it, and you adhere to that. You are there basically. You have become that. So that is the complete pulling attraction it has. So that's a typical nature. On the other hand, say we see something very repulsive, and we see something that we don't want to look at, and someone that we don't like to look at. Then we immediately want to get out of it. We immediately get rejected or repulsed from that. So then mind get kind of agitated. Mind become somewhat repulsed. Mind become fairly hating that experience. So then the hate, rejection, repulsion going to happen. So all that causes certain amount of agitation in the mind, right? So the mind is not in a kind of calm, peaceful kind of a state. Rather, it gets either repulsed or either rejected or attracted or completely adhered. So now Buddha say, you got to maintain a balance, don't allow it to get attracted, don't allow it to get repulsed. Maintaining kind of a equanimity, isn't it? So there are various beautiful sights, but don't get attracted. There may be various repulsive, unattractive, or something that you don't really like to see, all that are there, but don't reject it, don't try to abandon it. Or rather, you don't have any hate to it, So you maintain the calmness, clarity, peacefulness, equanimity in the mind, even that state. Say another option, there are various sounds. There may be very beautiful songs, recitations. So immediately our mind gets attracted to that, maybe interested about it, think about it, proliferate about it. So those are there. On the other hand, maybe someone is hating you, someone is going to blame you, maybe abusing you, all that may be possible. Then you get really upset, you get really heartbroken, you get really panicked, agitated. So how are you going to maintain a balanced mind on these two extremes? So there are situations, then someone is praising you and beautiful music and all that attractive things are there. Still you remain calm, still you remain unattracted, uninvolved. On the other hand, there may be situations that things are completely unattractive, repulsive, and sort of hateful, abusive. And then at that moment also, are you going to maintain that balance? Similarly, there may be attractive orders, unattractive orders. Try to maintain a balanced mind. There may be some delicious, very beautiful, very tasty things. Don't get really greedy, don't get attracted. On the other hand, there may be various bitter things, but don't get attracted. There may be various, say, very pleasant sensations, tangibles. Don't get attracted. Don't possess them. Similarly, there may be some painful certain sensations. Don't get really distracted, repulsed, or we can say hating them. So are we capable of maintaining such a mind which is completely equanimous? So that is the asanghirang asankuppang. So you need to maintain that kind of a really balanced equipoise, kind of an equilibrium in your mind, so which is not attracted, not repulsed, basically in the complete balance. So that's the theme. Actually, in many suttas, Buddha states about it. Asanghirang asankuppantang vidvamanu bruhe. So this is how he explains it in the Baddhegaratta Sutta. In this particular Jatukhani Sutta, he is telling Uggahitan nirattangva ma te vijjitta kinchanam. So Uggahitan nirattangva. So you don't have to get attracted, don't have to hate it. Then you need to avoid any kind of a kinchana. You need to abandon any kind of a thing, something. So mind has to be completely spacious in that sense. There's enough space in your mind. There are no objects, nothing you are holding on to, nothing you are grasping, nothing to you that you being attracted, nothing that you being repulsed. So you are in a completely peace of mind, peacefulness of the mind. So then, next verse. Yampubbetang visosehi pachate mahu kinchanang majje che no gahessasi upasanto charissasi. That's a very, very interesting one. Yampubbetang visosehi pachate mahu kinchanang majje che no gahessasi upasanto charissasi. So we'll listen to the translations.
Dry up what pertains to the past. Do not take up anything to come later. If you will not grasp in the middle, you will live in at peace.
Please, again.
Dry up what pertains to the past.
Dry up.
Yes.
Dry up what?
Dry up what pertains to the past. Do not take up anything to come later. If you will not grasp in the middle, you will live at peace.
Atita sanskara arambha yam klesha jate kvenam. එය මාර්ග ඥානාග්නියෙන් වියලව අනාගත සංස්කාර ඇරඹද තට කිංචනයෙක් වරහන් ඇතුලේ පලිබෝධයෙක් නහමක් වේවා ඉඳින් ප්‍රත්‍යුත්පන්න සංස්කාරයන් තෘෂ්ණා දෘෂ්ටි විසින් නොගන්නෙහි නම් උපශාන්තව හැසිරෙන්නේහි.
Yeah, so this is very similar to Majjhe Sutta. If you can remember in the Anguttara Nikaya, numerical discourses, so some similar verses there. Yo bhoante vidittvana majje manta nalippati. Thambrumi maha purisoti sodha sibbani machaga. So basically it says, so bhoante vidittvana, you need to know the two extremes, two sides, two ends. Majje manta nalippati. So the middle also should not hold should not attach with wisdom. That means with wisdom is there, you need to have fair amount of wisdom so that you are not even grasping the middle. Then only we can say you are a wise person. You are a great person. So that is the verse coming in the Majjhe Sutta, and we already discussed this in another sutta here in Parayana Vagga. I think in Tissamettaya Sutta. Tissamettaya Sutta also has the same kind of a verse actually. So Bhuvante Vidittvana Majjhe Manta Nalipati Tambrumi Mahapurisoti So the Sibbani Machaga. So here it says Yampubbetang Visosesi Pachate Mahu Kinchana. So particularly now two ends are very fairly the past and the future here. So there may be various thoughts, various say desires, imageries and kind of memories with respect to the past. So you need to completely dry them out. So remove them from the mind. Then pachate mahu kinchana. So there may be future desires, futuristic expectations, daydreaming, fantasizing. So you need to abandon that as well. Pachate mahu kinchana. So let it go then. Majje che no gahesasi. Now say if you let go the past, abandon the future, now you have only the present. But in the present also, don't get attracted. Don't hold, don't grasp the present also. Majjeche no gahesasi, upasanto charisasi. And by not grasping anything, you need to be maintain a peaceful mind. Now, this you can see the simple verse, simple in the sense, very short verse, but giving an extremely deep meaning. You see that the extremely deep, and you know it's a great task, basically. I mean, even though it says through few sentences, it has the complete patipada. It has a complete lifetime of practice. So while you are living, it is not just while you are meditating, while you are living, so you need to abandon all the past related thoughts, imaginations, or rather say memories and all that which is disturbing your mind. Similarly, you need to abandon all the futuristic desires, imaginations, fabrications which are going to happen. Now, not only that, you need to abandon the future, present as well. Keep the mind not attached to the present either. So where are we going to keep the mind? That's a question, right? So mind can't keep on anything, basically. Mind has to have a complete freedom without holding anything in the past, future or in the present. So mind has to be completely liberated on the other hand. So mind has to be completely free without holding anything, without attached to anything. It has to have its own clarity, its own independence. Anisthitocha vihirati nachakinchi loke upadhiti. In other terms, say if you refer Satipatthana Sutta, so this is the exact thing that Buddha is saying. So you maintain your mind completely unassociated. No past related activities, no future related activities, no future related objects, or even there is no present moment related grasping. Because you can hold something in the present moment, no? Assume that currently we are seeing something so beautiful. I don't need to think about the past. I don't need to think about the future because now, right now, I have a very beautiful thing to grasp. So your mind go and grasp it. Now Buddha say, okay, now abandon this also. Now no past, no future, no present. So the mind become completely kind of disoriented because there is no place to hold. Now typically, now when we are living, so assume that when we are walking, so we typically say, okay, you need to keep your attention on the foot. While you are breathing, okay, you need to keep your attention on the breath. So likewise, we are giving a particular object to hold, particular object to contemplate, particular object to sort of hang on. But as we are continuing, when one is arriving fair amount of vipassana, okay, then even that object has to be abandoned. All that present moment objects also has to be abandoned. So the mind has to be released. So that release state is what Buddha is promoting, basically. So the last verse, I think, Sabbaso nama rupasmin වීතගේ දස්ස බ්‍රාහ්මණ ආසවාස න විජ්ජಂತಿ යේහි මච්චු වසං වජේති සබ්බසෝ නාම රූපස්මින් වීතගේ දස්ස බ්‍රාහ්මණ ආසවාස න විජ්ජಂತಿ යේහි මච්චු වසං වජේති. We listen to the translations.
For one Brahman, entirely devoid of greed for name and form, the influxes do not exist by which one might come under death's control.
Last statement, what's that?
The influxes do not exist by which one might come under death's control.
Death's control.
Brahmane, nama rupayan kerehi, sarva prakarayen pahakala trushna ati, e rahathata yam asravayan hetu kota gena, maravaseta yenam e asravayo vidyamana noveti.
Right. So another way that Buddha further explains, sabbaso nama rupasming vitage dasa brahmana. So we, even in the previous discussion also, we discuss, so the name and form. So name and form and consciousness has a kind of a cycle, interrelationship. So to this name and form, now you have no desire at all. So various name and form, various what we call incidents, various previous past related activities or previous future related imaginations, all that can happen in the mind. So all that, you have no gather, you have no greed, no desire at all for that. So that means your mind is in complete clarity, complete transparent, you know, mind is empty basically. Mind. So that means emptiness is his pasture. Now, with respect to the arahants, so there's a beautiful verse in the Dhammapada. Sunyato animitto cha vimokkho yassa gocharo. So, sunyato animitta. Sunyata means the emptiness. Animitta means signless state of mind. Sunyato animitto cha vimokkho yassa gocharo. Now, that is the kind of a liberation that the arahant's mind is most often being with. That means his mind is completely empty, completely signless. In a way, it is kind of a transparent. So no name and form being produced there, reflected there. And so the vijnana and name and form doesn't have that interrelationship. So we discussed just previously in the previous discussion. So typically what happens is various name and form appear in the mind. And we consider it as the truth. We consider it as very beautiful. We consider it as something substantial, something very important. And then we give a name to that. We attach a label to that. We hold that. And we give some prominence to that. And we get hold to that. We grasp that. We say it is the truth. So the same thing now Buddha says, okay, don't have that kind of a mentality. So abandon all that. Sabbaso namaru pasming. Vita Gedasa Brahmana. So all that appear in the mind. So don't have any greed to them. Don't being fooled by that. Don't get attached to that. Wipe them out. Asavasa na vijjanti. Na vijjanti. So all the influxes are not available in you now. Yehi machu asang vajeti. So those are the ones actually causing you to again go to the death. So that, whatever those causes, whatever the name and form, whatever that asavas, influxes, are now completely abandoned. Now, basically, if one is capable of uprooting all the name and form, wiping it out, erasing it, so that the mind being kept as much as possible, very clean, purified, so that means the influxes are slowly abandoned. You know, So immediately when we have the clarity of mind, we can't say that all the influxes are cut off. But as we are continuously maintain that kind of a mentality, complete clarity of mind, say transparency of the mind, freedom from that name and form, so the mind is not entangled, that means we are maintaining a kind of a path, mentality, where the influxes are not growing. Available influxes are slowly decaying, abandoned. Asavas are slowly abandoning, decaying. They are not being promoted. They are not strengthened. So ultimately in one day, so we may be able to completely uproot the asavas. Then only one becomes an arahant. So likewise, so it's a, I mean, in this Parayanavagga verses are very short but extremely deep, explains the path from the beginning to the end. So very deep in a way, very interesting. So that ends the sutta. So if you have any questions, so since this is a discussion, we like to hear your voice, and maybe Dhamma Vijita if you have yourself. Or anyone else, Olo, you have anything to share? Or anyone else coming from the outside, they also participate? Yeah, can you pass the mic? You can come closer, please, both of you.
Most honorable sir, I have a simple question. In the previous discussion also, we discussed about vijnana. So does it continuously come behind being? I mean the sattva. Oh, what is it, of course?
So basically we need to understand there is no such a lasting consciousness. So if we say there is a lasting consciousness, eternal consciousness, then we are going to a wrong trap, wrong kind of a, extreme or kind of wrong view. So that was something explained even if you refer Mahatanha Sankhe Sutta. So there are one venerable called Sati. So he had this kind of a wrong view. He says that there is a vijnana, there is a consciousness which is ongoing, continuously following someone. So that is the wrong view he had. So, but on the other hand, Buddha say consciousness is momentary. Momentarily it is arising due to causes and conditions, then it's momentarily dying. It is also conditioned phenomena. There is no such a ongoing consciousness. There is no any eternal consciousness. There is no any particular consciousness which is following from death, from birth to death, or even transmigrating from this life to the next life. There is no such a eternal consciousness. So what Buddha explained is kind of a momentary consciousness. Say there is a form, there is a illumination, then momentarily then the eye consciousness. Then there is a sound, we have the ear, then instantaneously there is the ear consciousness. So likewise, so all these requisites are needed for the consciousness to arise. So this is the conditioned consciousness we are talking. So this conditioned consciousness is momentary. So there is no any consciousness which is following forever or following us. There is no such thing. So your question is that and then? No. There is no such consciousness at all. No, not at all. It's a spontaneous momentary consciousness that Buddha is talking. So this lasting consciousness, eternal consciousness, which is going towards the eternity, is something coming from the Brahmanism, Hinduism. So they are talking about something Atma. So they attribute Atma, they attribute self to this consciousness. Because that is the trap, actually, the most difficult part for us to understand. Someone can easily say, okay, there is no being in the body. There is no soul in the body, self in the body. And similarly, someone can say there is nothing in the feelings or something like that. They can continue. But ultimately, they might say, okay, there is something in the consciousness. Consciousness is eternal. Consciousness is something that lasting forever. So they get trapped in the consciousness. But Buddha, on the other hand, say all the consciousness are conditioned. This consciousness also very transient. It is causing, it is happening because of two conditions particularly. Eye and the form generate the eye consciousness. Ear and sound generate ear consciousness. Then odor and nose generates, say, nose consciousness. And then tongue and the taste generates tongue consciousness. Body and the tangibles generate body consciousness. Mind and mind objects generate mind consciousness. And all the consciousness are basically that means conditioned. But on the other hand, we need to understand about the Anidassana Vijnana. Can you remember that in the previous discussion we just touched that? We can't say that it's the conditioned consciousness. It is not a kind of a conditioned consciousness, and we can't say it is a kind of a lasting consciousness either. Lasting in the sense eternal consciousness either. Very much like we can't say awareness is there. And till the person is, existing, living, so that awareness simply may continue, and at the death everything ceases. simple as that. So basically, the consciousness, on the other hand, we have to say it's not, there is no something called eternal consciousness, which even after death, which is transmigrating, there is no such thing.
Morning, Bhante. I was wondering if you could say anything more about not grasping in the present moment.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, so that's what actually we do. Now, say for example, that's why in meditation, we are giving very neutral objects for you to contemplate, for you to pay attention. Now, say for example, breathing. So breathing is a process, very neutral process. Say, we are not asking you to pay your attention to a beautiful image. Say, I can give you a beautiful image of a girl and okay, continuously pay attention to that, continuously pay attention to that. That is not the scenario that we are saying. Okay, you pay attention to the breathing. Breathing, we can say, neither attractive nor repulsive, isn't it? It's a very neutral object, very ordinary object, this breathing. So, the point is, now when we are paying attention to breathing, we are very much like artificially generating kind of an environment. We are not allowing the mind to grasp because it is not attractive. And we are not trying to reject it because it's nothing to reject. It's a very neutral object. It's a harmless object. So the object itself has certain qualities which are fairly neutral. So the mind becomes somewhat neutral also. It doesn't have any grasping. It doesn't have any attraction. And it doesn't have any kind of a repulsion either. Hate and the other thing is lust. Both are not there in the mind. So these are the two defilements we are talking here, no? So if we are getting attracted, that means we have certain amount of lust, desire. If we repulse it, that means we have certain amount of hate. So that means hate and lust, both are not there when we are paying our attention to breath like an object. Breath is a kind of a neutral object which we don't need to get attracted, which is not, no point to become lustful about the breath, no point to hate the breath either. So we are generating that kind of a mentality. So okay, kind of a balanced mentality. Now, as you are continuing that, so this object also fairly become depleted, fairly become reduced, fairly become faded away. So then where are we going to keep the mind? That's the point. You see, I mean, so it's a kind of a strategy. Now you are given an object, okay, now you need to pay attention to again and again, again and again to that. Now you are not being attracted, not being repulsed. This is also not something really attractive or repulsive, quite neutral. So you are generating that kind of a mentality in the mind, kind of a artificial way, by the way. But as you are continuing that, mind become used to it, mind become balanced. You know that necessary attributes are gradually generated in the mind. At a one given moment, then this object become depleted. This breath itself become faded away. This breath itself become completely disappeared. Then what's going to happen to the mind? So mind can either grasp certain kind of feelings or perceptions, something possible. But if we are really wise, probably mind get even liberated. Nothing is there. You are not attached to the past, no future. Even the present object disappeared. Isn't it? So that's why even the Anapanasati, even at the Kayanupassana level, the mind can come to that unassociated state. That means completely non-grasping state is even possible, even at the Kayanupassana level, Anapanasati. Possible. Pasambayan kaya sankaran asasi samiti sikkati, when it reaches that level, so you have the completely, the breath has calmed down. The possibilities are there, by the way, you being attracted to a feeling, you being attracted to a kind of a perception or kind of a thought may be possible. But if you are really capable of even avoiding that, then the mind has nothing to attach and has nothing to hold. It can become completely liberated. It doesn't mean it may be there for a long time. Instantaneously, maybe only for a short time, it can become liberated. Possibilities there. Yeah. So it's a kind of a strategy that in the meditation we are coming up with.
So applying that to daily activities, if you're doing enough vipassana, the idea is the same thing would happen with the mind when you're talking to somebody or eating or just not grasping or pushing away. Just
exactly. So that's why, so actually now as one is continue one's practice, so there are instances that you may come to this equanimous state. Neither grasping, no holding, no rejecting, but mind become equanimous. So equanimity become a kind of a possibility in the mind. Say not grasping, not holding, not associating anything. So that becomes a state of mind that again and again you become somewhat habituated with, somewhat familiar with. Then is it possible to maintain such kind of a state while talking, while listening to something, while looking at something? That is the exact training Buddha is talking in the Indriya Bhavana Sutta, in the Majjhima Nikaya. So Indriya Bhavana Sutta, simply Buddha say, okay, whenever you see something, if your mind get attracted, so don't be there. Come back to the previous equanimity. When you are looking at something, if your mind get repulsed, go, don't be there. Come back to that equanimity. Equanimity is very simple, very ordinary, but sublime. Etam santang, etam panitang, eddam upekka. So this equanimity, this non-grasping state of mind, non-holding state of mind, which is free from repulsion, is very, very calm, very relaxed, very quiet, sublime. Okay, this is what you need to promote. This has to become your pasture. This is your refuge. So again and again associate that. Keep your mind there. Keep your mind there. Same thing that as Buddha say, munchapure munchapachato. So don't, I mean, abandon the past, abandon the future, even abandon the present. Huge training by the, I mean, no point of just talking about it. I mean, we need to practice. How are we going to implement it, isn't it? I mean, we can understand, yes, it's good. I mean, it's a kind of a strategy. We all can think about it. Logically, we can understand, yes, it is good. But we need to do it practically. That's a challenge. When your eyes are open, when you are, say, you can hear various voices, sounds, all that. When you are living in day-to-day activities, so how are we going to implement this? So that's the real challenge. So while in the meditation hall, we are sort of developing that skill, necessary skills to do this. But the real battle is in the outside. Yep.
In 73, Buddha Jnanani.
Buddha Jnanani.
One Jnanani is telling about Avikhepa Parisuddhata Asava Samuchede Panya Anantarika Samadhim Jnanam. Avikhepa Parisuddhata Asava Samuchede Panya Anantarika Samadhim Jnanam. That is, avikhepa means the mind should be at calm stage. That is,
without any kind of perplexity.
Yeah, it should be stand still. Mm-hmm. Avikhepa parisuddhatta, it got cleared up. Asava samuchede panya. Asava samuchede means the knowledge of abolishing the asavas.
No influxes, basically. Asavas, the translation is typically influxes. So all the influxes are cut off.
That panya is called anandarika samadhim jnanam. That means whatever we practice now, either walking meditation or sitting meditation, our aim is to get this, Buddha say, why the sila is there. The purpose of sila is to get this jnana, that is, we have to get a jnana where the mind is very sukham. We get a sukham, then samadhi. In the samadhi, we know as it is. That is
kind of a stillness.
Stillness. Then we understand how to cut the asvas. That is our main aim of doing this.
Definitely, yes. So that's what, in other terms, that is what we discussed also. So we are, say, you have no attachments, no repulsions. On the other hand, there is no lust, there is no hatred. Mind is in a kind of equanimity. Even there is no attraction. Present moment also, there is nothing you are holding. So that's what exactly in this today's sutta, basically, let me come back to that. So in this sutta, yampubbe tang visosesi pacchate mahu kinchanam majje cheno gahessasi upasanto charissasi. So that means yampubbe tang visosesi. So if you have anything with respect to the past, so simply dry them out. No defilements with respect to the past now. Pachate mahu kinchanam, with respect to future, there are no desires. Majje che no gahesasi. Present moment also, there is no grasping. Upasanto charisasi. Maintain the mind completely relaxed, calm, peaceful. Sabbaso namarupasmin nitage dasa brahmana. There may be various mental objects, various name and form appearing in the mind. To that, you should not have any kind of a greed, any kind of a desire. Wipe them out. So clean the mind basically, purify the mind. Asavasana vijjanti. So influxes, asavas are now slowly being completely abandoned. So this is a, you know, this is a path basically. This is a kind of practice we are talking. Not kind of a, you know, a momentary kind of a realization. Rather this is a kind of a practice that we need to continue in the daily way. Then ultimately, this asava asana vijjanti, so the influxes are now not available. So your practice has caused all the asavas, all the influxes to become very much like inactive. Asavas are not given any chance to come out. If there are asavas came out, okay, that also you are allowing to deplete. You are allowing to fade away because you are not promoting them. Suppose that there is a lust arise in the mind due to some reason. But now the advice is, okay, don't be there, come back to that equanimity. Equanimity is the one which is promoted. Equanimity become your posture. There is nothing. No object, no holding, no grasping. But now your mind become agitated because there is a lust. Recognize that and return back to previous state. Return to that previous state which has no grasping, no holding, no attraction, no repulsion. Quite equanimous. So be there. So you are not promoting the asava, say raga anusaya, or the kama asrava, the influx. You are not promoting. You that also become very much like helpless, which has no interest in you. So it become depleted slowly. It become nullified. So if there are asavas which haven't come yet, so we are not giving any opportunity for them to arise. So that ultimately they become completely, you know, abandoned or completely destroyed.
My question is like this.
Oh, yeah.
Buddha said to Ananda Bhante, Bhante, why we are following the sila?
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose of the sila?
Mm-hmm.
We are following the virtue.
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose? Then Buddha said, when there is a good virtue, you will not have any
perplexity.
Avipit, you won't have any remorse or something.
Correct.
By that it is you are nearby Preeti.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get Pamojjam. Then you get Sukham.
Then
you get Samadhi. Yada Bhuta Jnana Darshanam. Then you will get Vimukti.
Correct.
That is the road you are supposed to travel. The Sila is the main purpose is only to get Avipati Sarathani. Kushilani Sirani, Avipati Sarathani. Okay, here in the Avikhepa Parishuddhata, Asava Samuchede Panya, Anantarika Samadhi Mihnyanam. In this, also the Buddha said, you have to get a mind of no shaking, avikhepam, no khepam, no vikhepam, avikhepam. When you get very clarity of vikhepam, avikhepam, then only you are able to cut off. For example, I have angry, my defilement, main defilement is angry, dvesha chitta. In that case, I practice it regularly for 20 years. I don't want to hate anybody. I should not get angry. This practice I do in my routine day-to-day activities. But I don't get samadhi.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to remove totally my anger, the defilement of anger, krodha, without going to samadhi? Yadabhuta jnana darshanam. If I get samadhi and yadabhuta jnana darshanam, then only I am able to cut off the root of the anger, the defilement anger.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can cut as it is by routine practice. From my year of 42, I started meditation. Now I am 60, for example. 20 years I am practicing not to hate. Even though I am getting hated and everything, but I am practicing it not to get hated and all. But is it possible without getting avikhepa parisuddhata to get rid of this hated defilement?
Or else, do I need a special samadhi?
Do I need a avikhepa parisuddhata, asava samuchede panya, anantarika samadhi? This is only...
No, anantarika samadhi means the result actually. Anantarika samadhi refers here to the arhatpala samadhi. So that's the end result. So you were doing all that. You are going through the whole practice, as you said. It is not that through samadhi that you are cutting off the defilements. You are cutting off the defilements through wisdom. Panyaya diswa diswa pahatabba. So then and there, whenever defilements arise, you need to look at it, you need to recognize it through wisdom, and you are not promoting it now. Since you are not promoting it, it simply fade away. Ultimately, you are not promoting that potential in the mind. Say, so why lust arisen? Say, why hatred arisen? Because I have a certain amount of potential. So the moment that the anger arise, if I grow it, if I promote it, if I am driven by that, so that potential being further strengthened. But instead, what I did right now is that it has come out, but I recognize it. Rather than promoting it, I allow it to fade away. So this tendency in the mind also becomes somewhat depleted, somewhat reduced. Next time when it is arising, it is not this much of hatred now coming out because the strength has reduced. Still it may arise, but now again I recognize it, again I let it fade away. A little bit of again reduced. So likewise, if I continue my practice, so ultimately there may be a possibility that this the potential also has gone, the tendency also has gone, so the anusaya also has abandoned. So assume that one day if I am able to come out to a state where there is no hatred, there is no delusion, there is no lust, then I may be coming to that anantarika samadhi. Anantarika samadhi is the end result. Anantarika samadhi refers to the arhatapala samadhi, anya samadhi. So it is not that you become arhatapala samadhi and remove this. Rather, as a result of the practice that we have explained, say you are depleting all the refinements, not promoting any of the refinements, so slowly, slowly they become nullified. And then you are in the arhat kind of a panya vimokka. Say, complete liberation came through the wisdom. Now you may be able to attain the arhatapala samadhi. But I am not an arahant. So, I mean, this is the path that Buddha is explaining. So, to your question, so we can't say there is no samadhi while you are doing the process either. So, in order to see the defilement in your mind, there should be a fair enough clarity in your mind. So that is the samadhi. So the samadhi does not mean that you being absorbed to a very extreme kind of a samadhi. At that moment, there may not be any defilement at all. So that is another, kind of trap that we might get into. So the power of the concentration completely suppresses the defilements. The power of the concentration is capable of suppressing defilements. So if you refer a Sallekha Sutta, so Buddha simply says, so don't think that while being in a particular samadhi that you are cutting off the defilements. There is no Sallekha at all. There is no depletion of the defilements at all. You are being enjoying a kind of a samadhi. That's all. So in order to cut off the defilement, you need to see it. Janato pasato asavanam kayang hoti. So another statement, if you refer Sabbhasava Sutta, Janato Pasato. You need to know it, you need to see it clearly, then you are not promoting it, you are simply allowing it to fade away. You are not reacting to it. Then you are abandoning slowly, slowly the defilements. Then only you are abandoning all the influxes slowly, slowly. Then you are going through. The wisdom is in a way responsible, and say the mindfulness is in a way responsible for us to show it. So the clarity is they are in the mind. So that becomes enough samadhi. The vipassana, say when you are doing a chittanupassana, so you are capable of looking at the mind, capable of tracing the mind, recognizing all the defilements, even subtle defilements. So then that is enough. That is the samadhi that we are required, not the absorptions. Not the jhana. Not the jhana, but the clarity of the mind. Say your mind is very clear. So even a little instantaneously that defilement arises, you are able to note it, recognize it, and cut it off. So the practice of Satipatthana is capable of doing that. Not the very deep absorptions.
In one Dhammapada Gatha.
I think we have no time now.
Fine. Bhikkhu Vishasamapadi Appatto Asavakhayam.
Correct. So don't be satisfied if you simply have your monkhood, if you simply have renunciation, if you have a samadhi, don't be satisfied till you have completely abandoned the asavas. So if you are able to abandon all the asavas only, you can be happy, okay, I'm done. Before that, no excuse.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, then we'll wind up the session. I cordially invite Venerable Dhamma Vijitha to share the minutes.
Thank you for the teaching today, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May all celestial beings share in the merit produced by today's teaching, and may they protect the Dhamma exposition and dispensation of the Self-Enlightened One and his disciples for a very long time. May our relatives and all beings share in the merits of today's teaching, and may the seeds of Buddha's teaching that have been planted in our hearts and minds grow and produce path, fruition, and nibbana. I invite you to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verses for sharing the merits.